Good evening. Thank you all so much for coming to the Wednesday night halacha connected to the Parsha Shir. So in Parsha Yisro, we have the Ten Commandments. And one of the Ten Commandments is not to be jealous, not to desire that which one else has. So I'm not supposed to want something that you have that's known as lo tachmod. Lo tachmod, the Torah says you shall not desire. It's translated generally as covet. You shall not covet another person's anything. So let's learn that in the Torah itself, and then we'll see it in the classical sources. There's a famous sheet of the Rambam. And then we'll try to see, after analyzing the Rambam, hopefully we'll try to get a little bit more practical and really have a very clear understanding of, you know, how to violate this issur, i.e. how not to violate this issur. But at least we have we'll hopefully have a better appreciation of what the definition of the issur is. So in this week's parsha, we have the Torah lo tachmod beis re'echa. So one should not desire the house of his friend. Lo tachmod eishes re'echa. You should not have a desire for the wife of your friend. V'avdo, v'amaso, v'shoro, v'chamoro, v'chol asher re'echa. So anything that belongs to your fellow, whether it's his slave or his female slave, his ox, his donkey, you shouldn't want those things for yourself. Okay, i.e. don't be jealous, seemingly. Right? Seemingly, if I were to, you know, say, if I were to use an English phrase, seemingly don't be jealous would be an appropriate term based on the pasuk in this week's parsha.
No? Don't be envious.
Yeah, what's the difference between those two things, JB? What do you mean by that?
I guess envious is you want it for yourself.
As opposed to jealous is just, is what?
I don't know. I don't know if there's an actual difference.
Okay, I thought you were coming out there, you know, from left field to explain to me that envy is a more sharp term. Envy, you know, connotes a game plan.
I guess jealous is you don't want that person to have what you don't have. Envy is you want to have it for yourself. There's a difference.
Very good. So Rabbi Weintraub strikes again, always teaching me new things. Very good. So Weintraub points out that maybe envy is a more appropriate English term. I like that a lot. AB, very good. Thank you for that. And in Sefer Devarim, Parshas Vaschanam, and the Sefer Devarim are repeated, the Torah adds another term. Don't be envious of your fellow's wife. But now here's a key term. And don't desire the house of your friend, Sadeh, his field, again, his slave, whether it's a male or female, Shoro, v'chamoro, his ox, his donkey, v'chol, asher l'reyecha. So here in the Ten Commandments, in both recordings of them, the Torah says not to be envious of something that your fellow has, yet in Devarim, there is another layer. Not only is there an isser of lo tachmod, there's another isser of lo tit'aveh. So one may think at first glance that they're just like synonymous, but the Rambam and the Shulchan Aruch, who quotes the Rambam verbatim, will explain that there's a very clear difference between these two Isurim. So the first stage of the Shir tonight will try to be answering the question of what is the difference between lo tachmod v'lo tis'aveh. That's a key point of the Shir, but you know, actually we're probably not going to get there first. We'll start with the Rambam. And we'll have to take a break from the Rambam because the Rambam himself will not be so easy to understand. And then we'll get back to that. I'm sorry. Well, yeah. So the first step will just be to understand lo tachmod. And then we'll try to get back to lo tit'aveh. So let's say you want something of your friend. So this is going to be a question. So you're walking down the block and you see a house that's really nice. And you say, you know what? I really like that house, and my house is a lot smaller than that person's house. Does anyone think that you just violated this Isser Midoraisa? Does anyone think that that's a violation?
Absolutely not.
So Robert says not. Robert and Rabbi Weintraub says not, and Dr. Karp says yes. All right, so Robert, why not? Why is that not a violation?
Because you haven't taken any action. It's just a thought.
Very good. So says Robert, humans are humans. You're going to fantasize here and there. And again, obviously, it should be noted, you know, we're not allowed to think about everything. But assuming that the thing in our thoughts is not forbidden, but if it's just about, ooh, that house is beautiful, wouldn't it be wonderful just to have that house? So as long as it's in the thought process, Robert argues it's not a violation. Excellent. We will paskin like Robert. And Rabbi Wancho, what did you want to argue? That why is that also permissible?
Robert started saying it. You're not doing anything to acquire that, to appropriate for yourself.
Ah, very good. So here's where jealousy meets envy, right? If you're just jealous, it's not a problem. But if you're envious, that gets dangerous. But Dr. Karp thinks that it's us. Yeah, why is that, Dr. Karp?
Well, you don't get malchus or anything like that. You're not allowed to think that way.
Ah, so Dr. Karp says that even having those thoughts of I wish I lived in that person's house or I drove that person's car is not permissible. Those thoughts alone are forbidden. Wow. So we'll see everyone's opinion represented in the Rambam. And again, by extension, the Shulchan Aruch. Shulchan Aruch paskins like the Rambam. But let's start with the Rambam, but we'll see that both sides come out in the halacha. Kol hachomer avda o amasa o beso v'cheilav shel chavero kol davar she'efshar lo she'yikaneo mimenu. So it says the Rambam, let's say I desire anything that you have that I could purchase from you. Key line there. Meaning I could purchase it from you. V'hichbir alav b'reim v'hivtzer bo'ad shalakhu mimenu. And I work you hard to convince you to sell it to me. So I really, really like Peter's sweater. And I say, you know what, Peter, I could buy that from you. I'm going to offer you $10. And Peter says, what are you, crazy man? This is a fancy sweater with sentimental value. So I say, $20. And I get the whole shul on my side. And before you know it, Peter's being offered $300 with a lot of peer pressure, and he's not going to be invited back to the 715 Minyan if he doesn't give in. So all of a sudden, Peter gives in, and he sells me the sweater for $300. Now, here's the chiddush, says the Rambam, af al pi shenasam lo damim, even though I paid Peter, and I paid overprice, damim rabim, says the Rambam, even though I paid a lot, this is the Rambam Gezela, Aved the Perek Aleph, hareza over below sa'ase, shenamar lo tachmud, holy smokes. So says the Rambam, I violated that Issa Mida Oraisa, even though I paid you, Peter. Right, that's a pretty big chiddush, right? Now here's the chiddush as well. Ve'en lokin al lavzeh, I do not get lashed for this. Even though I violated an Issa Mida Oraisa, normally you would get lashed, Malkus, for violating a losa. I say, no. Mipnei she'en bo ma'aseh. There is no action. There is no action. Now, what makes no sense about that sentence on the Rambam? The Rambam just said that I violated the law by convincing Peter to sell me his sweater, and I took it from him, even though I paid him. But I don't get malchus because there was no quote-unquote action. So what do you mean there was no action? There was clearly an action. What did I do? I convinced Peter to sell me a sweater, and I took it from him, and I paid him for it, but I still took his item. So what does the Rambam mean when he says there was no action, right? So the Ravid and many others are completely baffled, so to speak, by this line. They simply don't know what in the world the Rambam's talking about. It's a fair question, huh? Making sense? So let's learn quickly about the what the Ravid's questions are. So first of all, point number one that the Ravid disagrees with on the Rambam. The Rambam said that even if I paid for the objects, but because Peter did not want to sell it for me, that was a violation of Los Achmon. Says the Rav, that's not true. Omer Avram, v'lo amar rotze ani. If the person who's selling the item eventually gives in and says, yes, I want to sell it to you, meaning you've convinced me. Then says the Ravid, disagreeing with the Rambam, that is not a violation of Lo Sachmo. So point of argument number one between the Rambam and the Ravid, says the Rambam, because I forced you to give it to me, I violated the Isser. Says the Ravid, no. If the Mocher, if the original salesman, namely Peter in our example with his sweater, if Peter eventually gave in and says, okay, fine, says the Ravid, no problem. Okay. Now, the other point, argues the Ravid, is how in the world can the Rambam say there is no masa here? Stuart Rubin, good to see you. All right, here we go. I took a quick glimpse at the comedy. I didn't see the full thing, but I'd have to take a closer look. It caught my eye.
Basically, he said one of the reasons he went off the derech, he didn't understand that one of those aseres hadibros. He didn't have Torah Shebaal Peh, basically.
Okay, we'll have to look at that at a later point. But Stuart has what to contribute, and halachically and the humor level. But says the Ravid like this: how can the Rambam say this is a lav she'en bo maaseh? There is no action, but the Rambam said that you only violate it if you end up taking it. So therefore, the Ravid disagrees and says, "Do you know why you don't get malchus? There's a rule that if I take something from you, namely that's called stealing, I don't get malchus because I can return the item to you. A gazlan has a chiv to return the item. So you don't get malchus because you can return the item. That's why you don't
get malchus."
Very good. AB says it beautifully. So when there's a chiv of hashava, you have a chiv to return it. So it's either an example or it's very similar to alav hanitak la'aseh. That when there is the Torah gives you the antidote to remedy the situation, you don't get malchus for that. Excellent. Thank you, AB. So the Ravid completely disagrees with the Rambam on those two grounds. Now, just the Baderach Lamdus, it's important just to understand the Shitas of Rambam. And if this is like, you know, real more Ian, you know, in Gemara and Yeshiva, we spend a lot of time on this Rambam. There's a lot to say about the Rambam Baderach Lamdus. That being said, the Magid Mishnah has a beautiful understanding just how to put these two things together. I'll say it outside. The Magid Mishnah understands like this. The two issues that the Ravid has on the Rambam are going to actually explain, they're connected, right? You know, like Yosef says to Paro, your two dreams are really one dream. So says the Ravid, the Magid Mishnah in defense of the Rambam, the Ravid holds that when I want to buy Peter's sweater, once Peter gives in, it's not a problem anymore. So therefore, the Ravid says the only way to violate Lo Sachmod is basically by stealing, right? Meaning, I take your item, you didn't want to give it to me, I took it, so I have to return it. But the Rambam disagrees with that analysis. According to the Rambam, I want to take Peter's sweater. Peter doesn't want to give me a sweater, and I pay for it. Even though I paid for it, I still violate it. So,
do you mean you can't refuse, like that kind of thing?
Right, exactly. So if I really put, you know, pressure into you to sell me something, that's still wrong according to the Rambam, and that's still a violation.
But does it have to be, you know, deadly pressure, like
no,
giving
no,
you an offer
no.
You can't quote unquote refuse?
No, as long as you don't really want to do it and I convince you to do it, you know, whether you had a lower pressure point or a higher pressure point, you know, as long as you gave in to the pressure, you know, that would be a violation on my part of Lo Sachmod. So the Rambam says that even if the Peter wanted to sell it to me, the idea is that meaning, did Peter sell it to me? Yes, he sold it to me. So why did I violate Lo Sachmod? Because what's the Isser? The Isser is me trying to convince him to sell it to me. That is the Isser. It's not like stealing. I paid for the sweater. So aval ha'ishtadlus asher ishtadel kedei l'ratzo so hu ha'iser, says the Magid Mishnah. According to the Rambam, the violation is not me taking the item. Rather, the violation is my persuasion, my business, my sleazy tactics to convince you and persuade you into getting you to give me the item that you didn't really want to give to me. That's the Isser. The Ravid argues, no, that once I convince you to do it and you give in, there's no more Isser. The Rambam says, no, even if the guy does give in, it's still Usser. So says the Ravid, says the Magid Mishnah, that's why the Rambam says there's no action, because there is no action. The Isser is not violated when I take it from you. The Isser is violated when I try to persuade you into giving it to me, and that's not considered to be an action. Me using, you know, social skills or whatever, you know, marketing tactics, that's not called an action. That's called me using my words or something, but that's not an action, okay? Again, that's
strong arm tactics.
Yeah, exactly. And but that ironically is not considered to be an action in the halacha, right? Halacha says that your words are not an action, right? Actions are usually done with your hands. So the Ravid would argue that losachmot is violated with your hands, and the Rambam would argue that it's not violated with your hands. Seemingly, that would be a little bit of the Magen Mishnah explaining a background of the machloshim, the Rambam, and the Ravid. Again, it requires a lot more time, but at least on a little bit, we try to delve into the Rambam versus the Ravid over here. And now let's try to at least focus more on the halacha lamasa and try to understand the difference between losachmot and losis ave. Because the Rambam said that as long as I want your item, I convinced you to give it to me, and you didn't really want to give it to me, so I violated losachmot. But what about this? Kolam is ave. Now the Rambam and halacha yud argues kolam is ave beso ishto bekelem shechavero. So I really want your stuff. Now here is the item. Kavan shechashav belibo heyach yikne davar zeh. Once I start thinking in my heart, how can I get this item? Benifat alibo bedavar, and I'm like convinced that I want to do this. Like I've convinced myself that I have a strategy to now go about by getting the item that I so desire. I've violated losis ave, but here's the key line of the Rambam. V'ein tava ela belev bilvad. So can anyone now explain the difference between losis ave and losachmod? Losis ave takes place in your heart. And where does losachmod take place? When does losachmod take place? What? Dibur. So Adam said, well, what did you just say when you try to persuade? Right? Meaning that's what the Rambam said, that as we learned from the Magid Mishnah, it's a lav she'en bo maaseh. Now, it is true that even the Magid Mishnah himself said that the action is complete when you acquire the item, meaning losachmod is like seemingly like a two-step item. I convince you to give it to me and I get it. But losis av is the first step, and how the Rambam spells it out. Ha'taiva mevia lidei chimur. So if you have a desire, I really want Peter's sweater. How am I going to go get Peter's sweater? So once I have a desire, it will lead me to do what's called chimud. Chimud is when I approach Peter and I say, Peter, you know, I really like your sweater. Is it for sale? And you say, no. And I say, well, how about I convince you to sell it to me, you know? And I do everything I can to get you to give it to me. And the chimud may be lidei gezel. Because what if Peter has a very strong backbone and does not give in, I'm going to end up getting it and stealing it. So it's a three-step isser. I have a tava, which leads to chemda, which leads to gezela. Wow.
So,
yeah,
Adam. Yeah.
Yeah, sure.
That's the main part of the left side, of the right side. The left side would have been the last one. That leads to death. So that leads to
Very good. So Adam here is quoting, and Nachum Leibowitz has a drush on the progression of the dibros, that one leads to the other. So it makes sense, you said, but if you go backwards.
Well, so no, it's half. On the right side, the first one. On the left side.
Judaic structure.
Right, the first and the last are the most favorite.
The bookends of the dibros. Very good. That's very nice. Very good. Okay, so that's good. So let's go to halacha yud beis, and then we'll get more halachically. So what does Ram say? Halamad Hashem is ave over belav echa. So let's say I want Peter's sweater. That's one violation. So we had a problem before. Remember, I gave you a scenario before. Let's say you're walking around town and you see a house that you really want, and you think, I really want that house. So did you violate an isser? So we'll see in the Aruch HaShulchan, no. But the Rambam is now saying that if you have a real desire, that's one lav. V'hakona davar she's ave behepzer shehipzer bebailim or bebekashen. If I go about buying it through intense persuasion, that's another lav. I violated two lav, and namely lo tit ave, I desired it. And number two, lo sachmod v'im gazal. And if I went about by stealing it, then I'm over b'shlosh elavin. So it's really a scary progression. You don't want to desire things. But again, if we were to stop here and say, wait a minute, I really like that house. I wish I had a big house. So at this point, we would argue that's an isur midoraisa v'losis ave. So Baruch Hashem be the Aruch HaShulchan. This is in Shulchan Aruch and Choshen Mishpat Simon Shin.
Question. Yes, yeah. I have a question. Yeah. Do you have to know the owner of the house?
It's a great question. So I think it's the Minchas Chinuch who already argues that this would not apply if you covet something from a non-Jew, number one. And number two, we're going to learn, right, we're going to learn the Aruch HaShulchan at Peter, and it's going to ease your worries. Peter says that he's been desiring to move for like the past 30 years in Fairlawn. And every time he takes a walk in Fairlawn, he's been staring at Isuri de Araisa. Peter, I'm going to calm you down, and then I'm going to call on you and see if I did the trick. About hold that thought. Says the Aruch HaShulchan, v'lav delosis ave, this violation of not desiring things, af al gav de tavahi, believe, even though the isser is violated in your heart, mikol makom eina over betavas livo bilvad. If all you have is some form of internal desire, that's not so bad. Everyone has a daydream. Oh, I wish I can live in that house for a day. It says, El imkein mechashe b'livo eich lehasiga mechavero. You only violate this isser if you start to come up with strategies in your head about how to go about doing it. Again, lo sachmod is when you actually go about by carrying out, you know, executing those plans. But once v'kevan shegomer davar ze belibo over al lo sis ave, only once your head is basically so excited to actually move ahead with trying to go forward with getting that possession, that is when you have violated lo sis ave. Peter, how am I doing? So the Aruch HaShulchan would say a tremendous heter here. That you look at a house and say, I like that house, I wish I lived there. That's not usur according to the Aruch HaShulchan. The only usur would be, you know what? I know the guy who lives here. I know how to convince him to buy his house off of him. And you start coming up with strategies, you know, to get away with it. That would be usur. But merely to covet, mutter.
That's so pretty hard.
Yeah.
I wouldn't think it makes a difference whether or not he's Jewish or not, or whether you know him or not. If all you did was think, I wish I had that house, and you didn't have a plan, you haven't gone past that area.
Very good. Robert is 100% accurate according to the Aruch HaShulchan. But you could argue that the Aruch HaShulchan is very surprisingly lenient. Meaning when the Rambam said that this violation takes place in the heart, so he didn't say that you're allowed to desire a little bit, right? Or did he? What did he say? In Halacha Yud Aleph, he said, "Hatava mive lidei chimud." Ding, 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 ding. That anytime you have a tava that leads to chimud, so if you're just daydreaming and you go with your wife on a walk and you say, "Wouldn't it be nice to have that car?" You're not actually serious about it. It's, you know, it's like you go into a clothing store and you try on something you can't afford. Just for the kicks, to have a kick, you know. Everyone does that. I mean, not actually, I was whatever, but I've never done that. At least, you know, not since high school. So, whatever. I don't know, high school was like normal to go to a certain place in Manhattan and like try on all the clothing. And they had video games, Urban Outfitters, or whatever. So they had like a video, like free video game. So we used to like go there, Upper West Side, like hang out at Urban Outfitters, like try on cool clothing, and then go to Dougie's. I don't know, whatever. All of us show them. Dougie's in the Upper West Side, the original Dougie's in the Upper West Side. I don't know. So apparently we used to do that. But it's been quite some time, Baruch Hashem, since I've gone there and tried on clothing for no reason. Anyway,
Aren't you, just get off topic for a little. Are you violating something else by trying on something that you had no intention of buying?
Thank you so much, Robert. That's called Gnevas Das. Or anytime you give someone the impression of something.
Isn't that a lav d'oraisa losis?
Add it to the books. Thanks a lot, guys. I really appreciate it. Yeah, Stuart and Robert, thanks so much. You guys can sponsor Kiddush Shabbos for that. Just coming to make up for that one. Okay.
I was talking theoretically. I wasn't talking about you. Robert was talking about you.
We're talking about the other guys in Urban Outfitters.
It was a long time ago. It's okay.
I was there for the Dougies. I don't care about closing. I was all about the Dougies. All right, Robert? All right?
Rabbi, what happens if you want the person's house or whatever and you offer and the person is delighted to sell it to you?
That's a great question. So, first of all, the Rivid for sure would say it's okay, because once you convince the owner to do it, there's no problem. It's only the Rambam's Chiddush that if you pressure the person into doing it, even if he gives in, you still violate it. So, and let's say we do postulate the Rambam. So I guess the question is, how much did you pressure it or not? We're going to learn that we're going to learn a couple of practical examples. Hopefully that will clarify. But Heter number one of the evening.
Oh, but getting back to that, that's not really jealousy. That's just bad business ethics.
Oh, very good. We're going to give one to two examples. We're going to give two examples that will create, I would say, a proper language for Lo Sach Mode. But Aruch HaShulchan, Baruch Hashem for him, he is the first Heter of the evening. Just daydreaming is okay. As long as you're not serious about doing something, weird, about how to plot to take something that, is out of your hands and you're not coming up with some strategy to get it into your hands, that's not usser. So to go on the fanciest blocks in town and look at the nicest houses and daydream a little bit, mutter. According to the Aruch HaShulchan, mutter. Now, the Sha'arei Tshuva, so this gets to Mrs. Karp's question. He deals with this question, Rabbeinu Yonah, in Sha'arei Gimel, and he writes something very, very interesting. He writes, so if you really convince the person to sell you something, like the Rambam, you have violated the Isser. Now here's the issue. Let's say it's Rabbi Yudin. He's a very honored person. Shem Yishal She'ela, or that must be a typo. I messed up a little bit on the copying and pasting. I used a certain program that's supposed to copy and paste. I think they messed up a little bit. Shem Yishal She'ela, or panav lo yapilun, no, they didn't mess up. Aser lisho me imreihu mekach o matat. Here's what the Sha'arei Tshuva is saying. That if you are someone who people can't say no to, basically you've got a problem. So let's say you are a Rabbi Yudin Chassid, or let's say a more extreme example. You're in the Bava of Chassidim. And the Bava of a Rebbe knocks on your door and says, can I please have your shoes? I'd like your shoes. Now, you can't say no to the man. So, says the Sha'arei Tshuva, even though the person was happy to give them, but you pressured them into that transaction by the very fact that they can't say no to you. You're someone that they will never be able to say no to you. But here's Mrs. Karp's key line. Bilti im yadaki nason yitein lo benefesh chafetza. If it's genuine, they really want to give it to you. Velo yera levavo betito lo. So, Mrs. Karp, thank you so much for asking your question, as it certainly enhanced our appreciation of the Sha'arei Tshuva this evening. That the line drawn by Rabbeinu Yonah is that, like this, if I give it to you with a sense of resentment, usher, Rabbi Yudin, I can't say no to him, and I had to give him my shoes, even though he paid me. But in my heart of hearts, I feel a sense of resentment. That is a violation of Lo Sach Mode on Rabbi Yudin's part or the Baba Varebi's part, and then my example. In contrast, if Rabbi Yudin, the Baba Varebi, asks me for my shoes, I am genuinely so excited to give my shoes to the holy, famous Rabbi Yudin or the Baba Varebi, and I have zero sense of resentment or negative emotions, mutter legamri. So Mrs. Karp, you nailed it on the head. As long as the person is genuinely happy to give it, no violation. And then the last makor I have on the sheet is from the Chafetz Chaim. The Chafetz Chaim wrote a sefer HaMitzvos HaKatzer about mitzvos nowadays. By the way, Olam Oda, knock out again They are so good. If anyone wants to do this, Mekoros, Be'ezra Hashem, Lina, they'll be posted on YHTorah.org. Olamot.net has a packet on this, and there are many other articles. If anyone, you know, if you, besides for Googling Lo Sach Mode in English, you'll find plenty on YHTorah. But Olamot.net was my source for this particular shiur, and I listened to a few things on YHTorah myself. But here is the concept here of the Sefer HaMitzvos. Sefer HaMitzvos of the Chafetz Chaim writes the following. He says there was a problem where chasanim, men getting married, they would convince the father-in-law to give them things that wasn't really part of the original deal. U'matzoi ze b'chasan shemakbir al chosno kodem hachatuna sheyitein lo davar ploni uploni mashalo hisnu al ze b'shas kisivas atonayim. So when my father-in-law, let's say hypothetically, is not, you know, accurate, but let's say when I agreed to marry my wife, my father-in-law said, "Oh yeah, you want a chassan's watch or do you want a chassan's shas?" And I say, "No brainer, chassan's shas." And the day before the wedding, I say to my father-in-law, "You know what? I actually want the watch also, and I don't want to say what's going to happen if you don't give in." So says the Chafetz Chaim, that would be a violation of Lo Sach Mod, where the chassan puts pressure on the father-in-law to give in to something that the father doesn't really want to do. Because he says, even though the guy gives in, you still violate the Isser. He says, even though the father gives in and gives him the watch, over but he says, look at the Ravid, who would argue, not meaning he's against the Ravid. I mean, what does the Chafetz Chaim mean when he says, look at the Ravid? What's the Shita's Ravid? The Ravid's Shita is, as long as the guy gives in, you have not violated Lo Sach Mod. And i.e. the Chafetz Chaim is saying, we don't paskin like the Ravid, we paskin like the Rambam. And as long as the person doesn't really want to give it to you, even if he says he wants to give it to you, but he doesn't really want to give it to you, you have violated that Isser. Wow. All right, does anyone have any questions about what we've learned so far this evening? All right, Peter, did I answer your question from before? I want to make sure. I thought that was, you nailed it on the head. The Aruch HaShulchan saved you over there. Mrs. Karp was addressed by Rabbeinu Yonah. So obviously, you know, the message to learn here is, you know, Eizu Asher HaSamech B'Chalko. But there's a lot more than that. You know, famously, the Ibn Ezra in this week's parsha says that, you know, the mashal of someone who doesn't desire something that he can't have. He says, you know, in the same way that a person does not desire to fly, because God did not create men to fly, you shouldn't desire someone else's wife. Because if God didn't give it to you, it simply means it's not yours. I remember I grew up with a very, very close friend, Eli Wagner, who's now a Rebbe in Shalavim, I think for Shalavim for Women. His father, Stuart Wagner, told me, I went to Shalavim also when he was younger, that he told me this Ibn Ezra originally, Baruch Hashem, I've taught it many times since then, is that, you know, if you really believe in Hashgacha Pratis, so you believe that what God gives you is yours and you shouldn't even desire other things. So what Dr. Karp said earlier, that you violate the Isser even when you think you wish it. So that is what the Rambam, you know, and others, the Aruch HaShulchan says, is derek chasidus, right? Meaning the highest levels, of course, is to not even want something that somebody else has, is to really feel like everything you have is all you need. And on a hashkafic level, we believe by hashkafic pratis that Hashem would not give you something unless you earned it. And if he did not give it to you, that means it's not meant for you. But I think, you know, learning through the sugya, there's a less famous muster to learn from that. And that is that you have to respect other people's property. Meaning, even if you have a right to be jealous, so to speak, and you think that you earn a higher salary and it's not fair that someone who works less makes more money, or why does that person get to live life on the highway road and while I don't? You know, the idea is like, okay, but you stay in your lane. You stay in your lane, meaning it's not appropriate for you to mess with people and their objects. So again, it's similar to what Ibn Ezra teaches us about believing in Hashem gives you what you need, but the halacha doesn't want you to infringe upon others. That's the issue. It's Ben Adam L'Chaveiro. Besides for the internal musr that you need to be happy with what you have, you need to respect people's privacy and property. And in the same way, you wouldn't steal. So you shouldn't have anything but people's best interests in mind. You know, what a beautiful me that it would be if you're genuinely happy for people when they have something, even when you don't have it. And it's a very high madriga, but you know, when you see someone with a new car that you can't afford, how amazing would it be if you could genuinely feel happy for them, you know? And that's not a normal reaction, but seemingly that's what the Torah is telling us to do. Then, the same way you wouldn't steal it, you shouldn't desire it. And that means is that you should genuinely, you know, feel a sense of, okay, that's his item, and I might as well be happy for him. Again, it seems a little bit utopian, but, you know, why not be a little bit utopian? All right, my friends. All right. So, what was the comedy? What was the parody, Stuart, over there?
No, I'm just going to say that Moshe Rabbeinu and Aaron HaKohen, right?
Aaron was zochah to wear the choshen because he was not jealous of his brother.
Yeah, but only Hashem could be made. This, like any brother would say, oh, bro, yeah, I'm so happy for you, but deep down, maybe he's not, right? Only Hashem could say that, right? Because nobody else knows.
Very good.
So that's an example of some of what you're describing, I think.
That's very good. That's very good. Thank you very much, Stuart, for that. Oh, I like it. All right, it's 8:57. All right, everyone, hope to see you around the Shabbos. If anyone wants to shovel ice, please let me know. If you have like a blowtorch, you can see me in my driveway. That'd be great. Okay, have a great night, everybody. All the best.